Today, I'm going to be preaching from the first letter of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to read verses 2 through 10 for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Being built into the spiritual house. This passage ends with, "You were once not." You were once not part of God's chosen people. You were once not given mercy. For those of you that know your Bibles, that should take you back to the Old Testament. And here in the Old Testament, when that happens to Hosea, and he's told to name his children, "You are not chosen. You are not blessed." What a horrible way to name your kids, don't you think? But he was told to do that, and Peter wants us to understand that things have changed. Things have changed. You see, Christ is a living stone. And as a living stone, he's either a cornerstone or a stumbling block. Christ, as a living stone, is either a cornerstone or a stumbling block. As I was reading this week and studying and looking at this passage this week, I was amazed and I was encouraged also. Most of the discussion in our world is not whether Christ lived or didn't live. Most of the discussion is he a cornerstone or is he a stumbling block? Do you realize that? Very few people say, "Oh no, Jesus Christ didn't live." They all acknowledge that, but some acknowledge him to be a cornerstone, a place where a building is built, the stone that holds up and firms up the corner of a building. That's what a cornerstone is. But for some folks, Jesus Christ is a stumbling block. They don't want to hear it. That's something to trip over. That's something that doesn't work right. That's something that they could care less about. What is Jesus Christ for you? Is he part of the building that you're part of? By the way, I want to make this clear. This building is not the church. This building is not the church. You are. You are the church. And that's what Peter says in this passage. You are the church. Now, we call this building the church, don't we? But that's wrong. It's a building where the church meets. And Peter's going to help us to understand that that building, that spiritual living building, starts from that cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? By the way, that's two different decisions in my book. I know many people that want to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior so that they have eternal life and that they have salvation, but they're not willing to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. The one who says, this is how you live. The one who says, this is what you build upon. This is how you stake your life. What is Jesus for you? Is he a cornerstone or a stumbling block? You see, when we come to Christ, we are a newborn who needs to feed on spiritual milk to grow in your salvation. When you come down the aisle, our tradition is, you come down the aisle, you let me know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. At that moment, you have salvation. But you need to grow into it. You need to understand it better. What does it mean to live in the midst of salvation? What does it mean to have salvation? How do I walk in this life now that I am a child and in the family of God? And Peter says that now you're a newborn. And as a newborn, you need to feed on spiritual milk. Chris, thank you for what you brought before the service to this morning. Those of you that were in Principles of Faith may think I set that up with Chris, because Chris, that's exactly what we talked about in Principles of Faith this morning, the same thing that you shared. I did not set that up with Chris. That's a God thing. Amen. So those of you that were in Principles of Faith going, oh, here we go with the same thing again I just heard last hour, maybe God's trying to say something to you, is what I want to say, because I didn't set that up. I was just as surprised as you were as Chris started to read about time and using our time wisely. One of the things that you need to decide is, how are you going to grow spiritually? One of the great things about the Bible is it is shallow enough for you to wade in it, but it is deep enough that you'll never get to the depths of what you can understand. You will never master everything in the Bible. No matter how much you study every day, I am still learning new things every week as I study Scripture. Still. I've been a minister for over 25 years. I've been a Christian for over 30. And I'm still learning new things every day. But I will tell you, you're not going to drown when you step into the Word. God's going to help you. God's going to help you. You, as you step into the Word and learn from it, you can grow. And you can expand and you can get bigger in your spiritual faith, in your life, in how you live and what you do in the midst of your life, how you understand God better. I told people in Principles of Faith, my goal right now for my life is to know God so well that when I get to heaven, there'll be no surprises. Now, I know there's going to be surprises. I will never get a chance to know God that well. But I'm going to work at it every day to know everything I can about God so that I get to know the one who saved me so deeply, the one who loves me, the one who cares for me. Thirty years now in ministry, it's hard for me to tell you that you can know as much as I know and you can understand the scriptures as well as I do. If you'll just put in 15 minutes a day. Basically, in my life, that's all I did until I became a minister. I'd put in 15, 20 minutes a day to come to know the scriptures, to come to understand them. Are they confusing? Yes. Let me give you a clue, though. If you don't open your Bible and read it, they will always be confusing. Always. You need to open it. You need to read it. You need to be in it. What does Peter say? It's spiritual milk. It feeds you. It helps you to grow. Gosh, I love the Psalms. And I love the Psalms so much because it has every human emotion in it. Every emotion. There's not one that's missing, good, bad, and indifferent. They're all in the Psalms. Trust me, there's some ugly thoughts in the Psalms. Ugly. If you don't believe me, I'll just ask you to go read Psalm 137. It ends with one of the ugliest thoughts in all the Bible. Guess what? I'm going to leave you right there. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to make you go look it up. Now that you're not listening to me and you're looking up Psalm 137, folks, Scripture is powerful. Amen. It's alive and active, is what the book of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 12. It's alive and active. Are you using it? Because if you're using it, this next fact that Peter talks about is true. As a living stone now, God wants you to be a priest to this world. As a living stone, God wants you to be a priest to this world. Now that word may make you a little uncomfortable. I hope it does. Because whether you consider yourself a priest or not, if you belong to the kingdom of God, that's who you are. You're either a good priest or a bad one. You are representing God to this world. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are representing God to this world. That's what a priest does. And a priest also brings the people to God. What does Peter say here? He says, you're a priest. You're a part of the priesthood now. You didn't join a club as a, this is the kingdom of God and we're all part of this club and everybody else ain't. No. You are now priests to go out into the midst of this world and help people come to Christ. That's your job. That's your role. That's what God wants you to be doing, to be a priest to this world, to represent God to this world, to bring the people to God, to pray on behalf of the people. Good grief, another shooting happened again yesterday in a mall in Texas. Are we praying for these people? Are we lifting up the people that are finding violence as an answer to things? Are we representing God's love to them? Maybe they did what they did. I don't know about this case, but maybe they did what they did because they didn't feel loved. Nobody loved them. Nobody reached out to them. That's what a priest is supposed to do, is to reach out to them, to love them, in spite of who they are. I still remember the guys that loved me, in spite of who I was. Long-haired, hippie, beach bum, not wanting any friends. Stay away from me. Get lost. I don't want to get to know you. I don't want to be part of your life. And those three guys loved me over and above and beyond. And that's the only reason I'm standing up here today. Because they loved me. They'd come to me and say, what do you want to do today? I said, let's go shoot pool. And they'd say, okay, let's go shoot pool. They wanted to do what I wanted to do because they wanted to show me how much God loved me. And they just did it by loving me. The love that God poured into them, they were priests to me. Where those three guys are today, I don't know. But they were priests to me. That's what we should be doing for this world. You see, we're being built into a spiritual house which breathes and interacts with this world. We're being built into a spiritual house that breathes and interacts with this world. Where are you with this? Is Jesus Christ your cornerstone? Or is Jesus Christ and what God expects from you a stumbling block? I've heard some people tell me that, Pastor, that stuff's too hard to live that way. Christ is a stumbling block to those folks. Is Jesus Christ a stumbling block, or is Jesus Christ the cornerstone that you have built everything upon? And are you one of those living stones that's part of the building? Are you living and breathing, or are you just existing? That's a good question for you. I told him in Principles of Faith this morning. I'm not a morning person. You guys know that. Hey, thank you, Jerry. Just because I get up early, on most days I'm up by 6:30. For those of you that think I don't get up till 10 or 11, okay? I'm up by 6:30 most days. But that doesn't make me a morning person. Just because you're sitting here in the pew today, that does not make you a Christian. Coming to church every week does not make you a Christian. Living as one makes you one. A living, breathing organism that's interacting with this world, that's reaching out and trying to help people come to Christ, that's going to people where they are and loving them. That's why this building's not the church. This building is not the church. You are. What is the church doing after this hour? Only you can answer that question. What is the church doing after this hour? This building will be empty, but what is the church doing? You're the one that'll decide what the church is doing after you leave today. Because you're part of the church. And you're a priest that God has asked to go out into the midst of this world and represent God to the lost people of this world. We can't change how people are acting by making a law. Can't happen. Do you realize that? We've already got a law on the book that say, do not murder. Has that stopped people from murdering? No. The only way we can change this world, folks, is to bring the love of God to each and every person. That's the only way the world will change. That's the only way. You're called to be a priest. No matter what vocation you're in, you're called to be a priest to this world. If you have built your life upon Jesus Christ. And everywhere you go, you represent Jesus Christ. Anybody that knows you went to church today knows that this is important to you. And if you go out and misrepresent God in this world, you know what the pastor gets to hear? Pastor, I can't come to your church because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. They come to church every Sunday, but they don't live like it during the week. Do you know that? Yeah, I know that. You know how I follow that, that up? My response is, though? Because in case you hear it, I want you to be able to have a good response to tell people. Where else should hypocrites be on Sunday to learn how to live right? They should be in church to learn how to live right. So if you're today here as a hypocrite, I want to thank you. You're in the right place. What I'm asking you to do is not live as a hypocrite out there. Because God needs priests, faithful priests, who can bring love and peace to this world. Who can love individuals in spite of who they are, in spite of what they've done, in spite of what they have planned. Can you be that kind of priest? You can if you'll spend some time in the Word and spend some time with God and nurture on that and grow in that. You can. That's the exciting thing about that. You can. So I'm just going to leave you with this question. What step should you take to be a larger part of the spiritual house God is building? What step should you take to be a larger part of the spiritual house God is building? I venture to say, as I ask that question, you already know what the answer is. You already know. Now the question is, are you going to take the step? Are you going to take the step that you already know about and be part of a living, breathing organism in the midst of this world? Or just be somebody who warms the pew? Which will you do? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, you've asked so much of us, and it is extremely difficult. It's hard. And sometimes, Lord, we really don't want to live into our position as priest. We don't really want to be part of the living and breathing organism as the kingdom of God in the midst of this world. We think it's too hard, it's too difficult. But Lord, it's not. If we'll learn from you, if we'll trust in you and spend time with you, it's not. So Lord, help us to take that step that we need to take. Amen.